Plus, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump will tour the wildfire damage in Southern California this afternoon. CBS's Weijia Jiang says earlier Trump visited Hurricane Helene victims in North Carolina and told them FEMA let them down.
He has suggested eliminating it and essentially giving the money directly to the states themselves.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe says the Senate will vote this evening on whether to confirm Pete Hegseth as defense secretary.
Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine say they won't support Hegseth, citing concerns about his experience and character.
If Mitch McConnell also votes no, Vice President J.D. Vance would cast a tie-breaking vote. It's a big celebration in Washington, D.C. as the National Zoo debuts two new pandas from China. This woman and her family came from Ohio.
It's just fantastic to be able to experience this as a family.
The zoo's panda cam is up and running. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Joining the ranks of those making a plea to do something about the intersection of Highway 10 and Highway 186 is one of the first responders who was on the scene of the most recent fatal crash on December 13th. That tragedy claimed the life of 17-year-old Casey Rampton, a student at Lincoln High School. The first responder is Casey's aunt, Ashley Turner. In her letter, Turner describes what happened at the scene as she and other first responders tried to save her niece. She shared the devastating impact this death has had on her and her family that could have been prevented. Casey's grandmother read the letter to the Wood County Public Safety Committee and the county board. All those petitioning the Department of Transportation are asking that safety measures be added to this intersection. It is the only one where two highways meet along the redesigned four-lane Highway 10 without some kind of safety structure. Healthcare costs in Wisconsin are among the highest in the country. Wisconsin employers are voicing their concerns. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce surveyed businesses in the state, and 88% of employers predict their healthcare costs will increase even more this year. Scott Manley is WMC's Executive Vice President of Government Relations. He stated, these costs are not only a competitive disadvantage as they dip into employee compensation, investment opportunities, and more, but they also hurt Wisconsin families. When asked what state government could do to help businesses, 41% of respondents answered, make healthcare more affordable. Wisconsin's healthcare costs are among the fifth highest in the nation. The DATCP is still accepting applications for the 78th Alice in Dairyland until January 31st. Find out more at AliceInDairyland.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks turned down the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat by nearly 30 points, 129-96. Miami suspending former Marquette star Jimmy Butler for missing the team flight to Milwaukee. Butler in a contract dispute with the Heat. Doc Rivers asked if he was surprised about the situation.
No, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I just hope they find a way through it. I've been through these things before. You know, I was in Philly with Ben Simmons and all that. It's no fun for anyone.
NFL, two players from Wisconsin, among those to be named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Steelers' T.J. Watt from Pewaukee, and Eagles linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer.
That's really cool, really special. Honestly, not even on the spectrum of a goal of mine. I really just try to be the best player I can be and try to maximize my potential and my ability. It's a lot of credit to the guys up front and the guys on this team for aiding in my success.
That's Zach Bond. The Eagles host the Commanders Sunday at 2 for the NFC title. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 24th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At part two in 4:30 today, we're going to talk with Roxanne Filtz, Director of Curriculum and Instruction over at Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Looking forward to talking with Roxanne, as we are looking forward to talking to our good friend, Peggy Kurth, Volunteer Coordinator with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Peggy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to above zero temperature.
Yes. It's funny how the term warm means something different this time of year than it does in the summer, doesn't it? You know, we'll take 20 degrees. That's warm to us.
It is.
Peggy, appreciate the notes and the topic this week. This is a really good one, you know, something that I don't feel like we get the chance to talk about nearly enough. Let's dive right into volunteer. Your main topic for today?
So my main topic that I thought I'd focus on is talking about the connection between gratitude and volunteering, and how gratitude can actually have a ripple effect that, if, you know, kind of spreads out from when you notice something and you're grateful for something and you tell someone, especially if you're grateful for something they did, it not only impacts you because you feel good about identifying that and sharing, but you're also you know, creating this connection with this other person. Their self-esteem gets a boost, and it just kind of makes you look at things a little differently and want to identify more of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, certainly I think one of the first, when I saw this come across, the very first thing that popped in my head was how much we talk about mental health these days and how important it is. And it's a great focus, and I'm proud that we're doing that as a society. And as I mentioned many times when I talk about this, now the real work comes in. You know, we kind of did some of the heavy lifting with just getting this topic in common conversation, and we're not talking about it in a hushed voice anymore. But now some of the heavy work goes in, and I think of things that you can almost guarantee, hey, this is going to help my mental health, hey, this is going to make me feel good. And when it comes to volunteering, there aren't many things that are going to make you feel better in this world than volunteering, especially with the ADRC and doing the work that you're doing over there with something like that. It popped in my head right away. There's so many advantages to this, but that was one of the first ones I thought of.
Exactly. You've explained it really well.
I gave you nothing to talk about. I gave you nothing. Took it all from you.
Okay, so I have nothing more.
It really is. I imagine you can speak to this pretty well, though, because you could hopefully experience this quite a bit.
Oh, definitely. And actually, right now, we are looking at talking about ways that we express our gratitude to the volunteers that do countless hours for us here at the ADRC. We thank them all the time, But every year we like to do some kind of recognition or appreciation. So we're looking at what we're going to do this year, because April is Volunteer Appreciation Month. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through notes that get shared when people who receive Meals on Wheels, when they sometimes when they send a contribution in, they will also jot some notes down. And sometimes it can be like, you know, less Brussels sprouts and more cake or something like that. But most of the time they are expressing their gratitude for the service, but also more importantly for the people who are bringing them the meals and the connection they make with them. And I was just reading through like about a year's worth of ones, trying to, you know, pull some stories here and there. And my self-esteem rose by the time I was done reading.
That's
all
awesome.
Of these thank yous and sincere wishes from people. And sometimes it was from a family member, like a son or daughter who parent had passed on, and they were sending a note about how impactful getting the meals were. But besides the nutrition, it was that volunteer who also came and said hello and talked to them. And maybe that was the only time they talked with someone that day.
Yeah.
So it is really, yeah, it can have a big impact on your overall well-being by volunteering. It can raise, you know, if you're kind of in a funk or feeling a little more isolated, it definitely helps you create a connection with other people who are there for the same reasons you are. Mm-hmm. And it just, yeah, I can't say enough. It just can improve how you feel about yourself and how you feel about other people. And maybe if there are some not so nice things going on, you know, that you're dealing with at that point in your life, it can help maybe get you out of focusing on that for a little bit, or maybe it gives you a way to have a new perspective.
Yeah, and oh, you hit it. There was the word I was going to mention. To me, I think the older you get, the more you realize one of the best friends you can have is perspective. And so many of us, the loudest voice and the one that bothers us the most is that voice in our head. And you had a line in here that I thought was really important. And we shift our focus from what is lacking to what is present. And
yeah,
I know doing a lot of volunteering in my life since I was young to now, that is one of the things that I always look forward to. I like to do things for others. I like to do things for, you know, just because it feels good and all that. But I won't lie to the audience either. One of the, as a classic overthinker, which I am, when I'm volunteering, I'm not overthinking. When I'm volunteering, my focus is just on what I'm doing. And not only do I feel good from it, but I'm taking a break from my, you know, issues, my struggles or what have you. I'm out of my own head a little bit. I joke about being an overthinker, but I don't think there's many people out there who aren't overthinkers. I think most of us have this issue. You're volunteering, you're locked into what is going on right now and focusing on that. And it can really give you that breather, that break from things that you can use.
Yes. And I think, you know, there's so much going on on a daily basis throughout the world. And it can be like what we see can be all of the, you know, terrible things that are happening or negative things. So being able to pull yourself out of having maybe that on or reading about that all the time is doing something for someone else or, you know, coming in, volunteering. And because, I mean, honestly, we have volunteers in a lot in different areas that help us, but our nutrition program wouldn't exist without them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wouldn't be able to do it.
I know for me, whenever I feel overwhelmed or I think there's so much negativity out there, there's a phrase that I try to remember and I try to live by, and be the good. If you don't think there's enough good in the world, put some in it. You know, and you can do that through volunteering. Not everybody can cure polio. Not everybody can do something that impacts the whole entire world. But if you do something in your neighborhood, your community, you will see that that stuff, people can build on that, and the community next to that one, and that one. And before you know it, you've had a huge effect on this, whatever it is that you're working on and volunteering with. We're speaking with Peggy Kurth, volunteer coordinator with our ADRC of CW. And Peggy, there are a close connection, too, with volunteering and gratitude that I thought was very interesting that you were talking about in your notes here a little bit.
Yes. So and I'm sure people have heard about gratitude and the benefits that it has when you focus on the things that that you're grateful for, even taking a little bit of time each day and maybe coming up with three things that happened during that day or three things that you're grateful for. Over time of doing that, it can change it can change how you view things, and you end up starting to find a whole lot more things that you're grateful for, like the good things. Mm-hmm. Because I've had that happen when I've really focused on doing that for a period of time. I'm kind of amazed because sometimes I can be a glass half empty mm-hmm. person. So it definitely is an important tool that we can use. And when it kind of helps along with that, what we were talking about with volunteering, you kind of take your focus off maybe something that's bothering you to what you're doing in that moment. And that's what also focusing on gratitude does. Mm-hmm. So if you're struggling trying to find things that you think that you would be grateful for, if you do consider volunteering, I think, again, like when you go out there and whatever it is you choose to do as a volunteer, you meet new people who are also there. You know, they're not getting paid to be there. They're there because they want to be there and they want to help. And that's kind of that ripple effect where you are around other people who are doing, you know, really good things for the community, and that makes you feel good and makes them feel good, and it just kind of ripples out from there. So other people then will see you mm-hmm. volunteering or being grateful, and that encourages them to do that too. So then you've got this whole like community-wide effect happens.
I think if you think about this a little bit like laughter and how contagious laughter can be, you're in a movie theater or you're yeah. watching a play and, you know, a bunch of strangers start laughing at something and you catch yourself laughing at it. It's an energy. And in this volunteering, it's an energy in itself. And it really does, you know, lead into other things and go into other stuff. I think an extension of what you're talking about, just piggybacking off of it, Peggy, is one of the things that stands out to me is when you volunteer, it doesn't that good feeling doesn't stop when you leave the building or leave the place that you volunteered mm-hmm. at. That carry that with you, not just the rest of the day, but the weeks ahead and going forward. It's something that you can lean on, especially in tougher times, and reminding yourself of these things and going back to that good feeling. It's there for you, and it doesn't have an expiration date. It stays.
No, it doesn't. Which I'm happy about.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's not
one
a ton
thing
of
that shouldn't have an expiration date.
Yeah. There's not a ton of things like that in life. It's nice to have that one.
No.
I feel like we have done, and you have done a really nice job of giving people reasons and encouragement to volunteer. Let's give them some opportunities to volunteer, if you don't mind, Peggy. Let's talk about some of the good opportunities you guys have over at the ADRC.
Well, one, and I know I kind of put that at the top, but it's also a volunteer opportunity. We do have an advisory committee mm-hmm. that, because we cover four counties, Wood, Marathon, Lincoln, and Langlade, we are We have people on this advisory committee from all of those counties, and they're community members who are interested in kind of being the eyes and ears for our agency on what's going on in their community for regarding older adults and adults with disabilities. So they come to the table, we'll bring feedback. If we're looking for information maybe on a new strategy or something, they will often go out in their community and gather the information and come back. So we are so grateful for the people who volunteer to be on our advisory committee. And Aaron Wells, our director of aging and wellness. I don't know if I just got her title right or not. She's my boss. I should have it right. But she's the one who coordinates the advisory committee and the meetings. So it's not a big time commitment. It's held every other month on the fourth Wednesday from 10 until about noon. And we Aaron has been rotating the meetings in person among all of our offices. So it's not always in one location. But if people don't want to travel, we, you know, have a virtual option to like, you know, connect to the meeting that way. And we are looking for someone in Wood County because we had someone who just came off the committee.
And I'm glad you mentioned it about the time commitment, because we always like to bring that up with volunteering and keep that in mind with really all the things we're mentioning with the ADRC and volunteer opportunities. They work with you on schedules. They work with you on time. And when it comes to impacting your community, all the options we're going to give you are really great ways to impact it and volunteer. This is one of the bigger ones that you can really make an impact and really do some great work in your community and paying it forward in many ways, I feel, where you're doing stuff that you, you know, collecting information or doing things that you may be using yourself one day. And so I think that that's a kind of a cool thing and also something important to keep in mind with it. If Peggy, people are interested in this position or interested in volunteering for this, how should they find out more? Who can they contact?
They can contact our agency or contact Aaron Wells at our agency. Our toll-free number is 888-486-9545. Or if you go to our website, there is a page, an area where you can click on that talks about our board of directors and then our advisory committee, and it has all the information on there.
It's a great website, and we'll make sure to get it out there before we wrap up today. But there is a one that flies through, and you can just click on it, and brings you right to volunteer opportunities, and it gives you a little details about some of the things that we're going to talk about right now, because there's a bunch of different volunteer opportunities as we're wrapping up, Peggy, to touch on.
Yes. Yes. So the other volunteers opportunities we have, some of them are in our nutrition program, and those tend to be focused, of course, on food and interacting with older adults. So in Wisconsin Rapids at Centralia, we have a senior dining site that we serve lunch for those who are 60 and older and who want to come together and have a meal with other people and conversation and fun. So we do have volunteers that come in and help get the table set up. And when people arrive, they help serve people their meal and get them coffee or milk or whatever it is that they're drinking. And then they help also like with cleaning up and getting everything ready for the next day. So that time frame is it's Monday through Fridays from about 10 to 1. But again, Jane Orcott is our dining site manager, and she's wonderful. So she is really easy to work with. And if somebody can't do that full time frame, she's very flexible with making it work for you. In that, at that same location, that's where the meals are packaged for the Meals on Wheels routes. Mm-hmm. So we have volunteers. Our food actually comes from Norwood. So we have a driver that picks it up in Marshfield and drives it over to Rapids. So they bring in the food and it's already prepared, but it needs to be packaged into individual trays and sealed and then like arranged in the different routes that are going out that day. So volunteers help with that. And that's like a from about 9:30 to 9:45-ish. And then we have volunteers who come in to pick up the meals and deliver a route. So that might mean they have anywhere from 10 or 12 to 15 or 18 stops on a route. And they have insulated bags with the hot food and the cold food and clipboard with all the instructions on where they're going. And they deliver the meals and then bring the bags back to the Centralia, and that usually can be an hour to about an hour and a half, so about 10:30 to noon. And again, like I said, the important, besides delivering the meal, it's also kind of that check-in on a person. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's not answering, they will contact our office, and then we start investigating, trying to find out what's going on to make sure that person's okay.
It's a vital part of it. And I will just add on to that. You will also make new friends. You will make great friends. I put my name on that, doing Meals on Wheels a little bit that I had the chance to. I still remember the relationships I made. They're amazing people that you'll be working with and helping and getting the chance to get to know. There is senior dining site work as well that can be, they can always use help with, and lead fall prevention program. Get training to lead a group, educating programs and stuff again that might help you eventually one day. We all could maybe use to learn a little bit more about prevention and from falling and some of that. And so many other great opportunities are waiting for you at the ADRC of CW. And Peggy, as we're letting you go here, I just want to thank you and the crew over there so much. Please say hi to everybody, and I'm wishing you guys a great weekend.
I will. Thank you. You too.
You can find out more by going to their website, adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Otherwise, give them a call, 715-261-6084, 715-261-6084. Thanks again, Peggy. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We're seeing a spike of influenza hospitalizations here in Wisconsin. Respiratory illness levels are high.
Last week, UW Health saw the highest level of influenza-related hospitalizations they've had in the past 3 years. Approximately 33% of patients tested for flu were positive last week. Respiratory virus levels are expected to remain high for several more weeks. Health officials say it's not too late to get vaccines. As always, to reduce the spread as much as possible, stay home when sick, wash your hands, and consider wearing a mask in certain situations. There's fear of mass deportations with increased ICE activity in the state, Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Protecting immigrant families in Wisconsin will be the focus of a community group's press conference this weekend. Voces de la Frontera is set to host a press conference Saturday at South Division High School. They'll be launching their statewide annual assembly. The event is said to spotlight efforts to protect immigrant workers and their families across Wisconsin. Milwaukee Common Council President Jose Perez is scheduled to be one of the speakers.
The ATV-UTV County Forest Trails on Clark County Forest Lands open today, January 24th. Due to low snow conditions, the summer trails and map will be used and UTVs will be allowed to use the trail system. Snowmobile trails on private property are not open. Trails are rough and icy, and you also need to watch for active logging and logging trucks. Jackson County ATV-UTV trails also opened up to UTVs today. These trails are traditionally closed in the winter months, but because of the lack of sufficient snow for snowmobiles, they are being opened. Trails will be closed to UTVs as soon as snow conditions are favorable to groom for snowmobiles. You can check county trail conditions and look for updates on county websites. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yuri Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothy Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist, Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain, and his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actor category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown, as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad, and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Peach Wabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shefchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 24th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Roxanne Filtz. She is Director of Curriculum and Instruction with our Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Roxanne, good to see you. Good to have you in studio.
Thank you very much.
Feels like it's been a while. It's good to have you and get to be able to talk with you and hang out. We do want to thank Ron for setting this up and everything. Ron was going to join us, but the day job comes first, and we get that. We completely understand that. Hard at work for our kids out there. We appreciate that. Appreciate you being here. And Roxanne, if you don't mind, before we dive into district report cards and some of the other topics we have today, I thought it'd be kind of fun for the audience to know a little bit more about what you do as director of curriculum and instruction. That is a very, like, it sounds very cool. I'll be honest with you, it sounds like a very cool title. What does it mean? What do you exactly do?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, James, for having me here. And I would first like to start by recognizing our CTE teachers. It's CTE, Computer Technology Education Month. I'd like to recognize them. And the first week of February, then, is also our School Counselors Month, School Counselors Week. So I'd like to give some appreciation, a shout out to them.
Two great groups. Yeah.
Perfect.
Big thank you to them.
Director of Curriculum and Instruction, it is a big umbrella that there's a lot of things that fall underneath that. So basically, any purchases, any time that we change any sort of curriculum in any of our curricular areas from 4K, even early childhood, all the way through our 12th grade students comes through my office. So I'm in charge of making sure that the curriculum that we are purchasing, that we're using in our classrooms, it's standard-based. It fits what the state is saying that we need to be teaching, that it is approved by our different curricular committees, that it is school board approved. It's my job to give an update every month to the school board through our Ed Services Committee on what we're doing in curriculum, whether that be professional development, the way that we're hiring teachers and retaining teachers. Our mentor new teacher program is something that I work with. I work with all the Title I, Title II, Title IV grants in ensuring that we're giving equitable services to all of our students as far as our curricular resources are concerned. We need to evaluate our different curricular areas every year on do we have any holes or gaps in what it is that we're supposed to be teaching? Are we using best practices? Are our teachers getting the time that they need to collaborate? Are they getting the professional development that they need? Do our report card standards that we report to parents, do they align with what it is we're teaching in the classroom? And if they don't, what do we need to change with that? So a lot of that comes through my office. I lead a various amount of committees at the district level and do a lot of reporting both to the state and to the school board on what we're doing in curriculum.
So thank you for that, Roxanne. Mm-hmm. So when do you breathe? I joke because I think the audience is asking the same question there with a little bit. And I bring this up. I do think it's very interesting what you do. I really do. I would love to ghost you sometime on your job and what you do. But I hope this also puts a little understanding to our audience out there, whether you have kids in school or not, some empathy for our so many of the people working in this industry and how there is nobody doing one job. Everybody's got multiple things on their plate, and that takes a lot. There's a lot of spinning plates. We use that term a lot here in radio. Mm-hmm. All of us are spinning plates. We'd get this one going, and then we got to go get this one going.
100% true.
I can't even, that's a whole other level when it comes to what you're doing. I think that for a lot of us, every one of us at some point in high school got to choose some classes, and sometimes that could be a little overwhelming when you look at that list of classes and how many there are. Roxanne has to do that basically for every class in the whole school district. Essentially, and everything.
Correct.
And it's just, I just admire it so much, and I do appreciate you giving us some insight into that. I hope that the audience can also take some appreciation for what you do and what you do for our kids out there.
I do want to give a shout out to my curriculum coordinators. I do have various leaders in the different curricular areas who manage the minutiae of the day to day in the classrooms that needs to be done, but then we work closely together on what do you need, what can I do, how can I come in and support you. I'm in classrooms and watching good teaching and watching ways that I can support that. So I do have a great team around me, which makes it easier.
Does help. I can relate to that. We did want to take some time to talk about district report cards. So let's dive right into that. How did that turn out this year? Did I do well? No, I didn't. But thankfully, you don't have to do mine. But we do want to dive into this subject.
Sure. Our district report cards came out. They were released to the board in November. I gave a full board report to the actual board committee at the board meeting, not through Ed Services. And as a whole, as a district, we've met expectations and we've improved. We've steadily improved since 2020, 2021. So that's a good sign that we are recovering and our students are improving. 6 out of 7 of our elementary schools exceeded expectations. The one that did not met expectations, Lincoln High School, exceeded expectations. Mm. Our middle school met expectations. We don't get a report card for Pitch Elementary or Pitch Early Learning, excuse me. And then our alternative school gets an alternative or receives an alternative report card, and Central Oaks Academy met expectations. So overall, we did really well. And when you look at it, during my report, I give a comparison of how we fit in, just not with just local school districts, not sort of as a competition, but just to see, are we doing what we need to do? And also with the Valley. And we were the third highest in overall district scores when we're comparing ourselves with surrounding districts or with schools in the Valley. And that's also including we're the second highest in economically disadvantaged students. Whoa. So we're really working hard at making sure that we're that what we're offering to students, we are removing barriers for all of our students so they're able to take advantage of the different programs that we offer, and we're trying to do it in the best way that we can.
That hit me. That got my heart. I was one of those people, and I can relate to that. That's so cool to see, to hear. That's really awesome.
Right, and the other high point that I want to make just about school report cards in general was the fact that Lincoln High School was the second highest in the area and in the Valley, only behind Pittsville was the only school in the area that scored higher than them in the overall school score for the report card. So, and the one elementary school that didn't exceed expectations missed it by 0.4%.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. They still met expectations.
They did. They absolutely did. And the nice thing about that I like about school report cards is it's not just based on test scores. It's not just on the state standardized tests. It also takes in graduation rates. It takes in attendance. It takes in, are our students not just achieving at grade level, but even those that aren't at grade level, are they growing? What is the percentage of students that are going? So basically, if they're achieving, are they going, you know, are they getting to the grade level? If they're growing, are they at, for layman's terms, are they at a B and now at a higher B? Or are they, you know, they may be below the benchmark, but are they growing and getting to the benchmark? Yeah. So we get credit for that, which really helps us because that's what the overall view should be of a school. Are students growing?
I think that everybody can take some pride from this. I think there's a lot of good feeling that comes from this. As a former Lincoln alum, I'm certain think bragging in my head about it and everything. But just as that feels good, there's some, you know, importance behind this in the data that's collected with this information as far as funding and other things that go, you know, this plays into.
Correct. And it's we want to be able to just highlight what we do well, because you know as much as I do that what makes the paper are the negative things. And you know what we need to do is just highlight the things that we do well. For instance, the school report card also looks at our advanced classes that we offer at Lincoln High School, our AP classes, our industry recognized credentials, and our work-based learning. And we've improved greatly even just this year. So at the end of 2023, the graduates, we had 16% of our graduates, which equaled 169 students, took an AP course. This last graduates of 2024, we had 189 students. So we've increased there. Dual enrollment, 2023 graduates, we had 31.3% take at least one dual enrollment course. Now we're at 47%. So 543 dual enrollment courses were taken by our students. Industry recognized credentials, we have 57 students that earned at least one industry recognized credential that graduated last year in 2024. And we have 121 students that graduated in 2024 that participated in a work-based learning program. So it's not just about what are the test scores, what's that snapshot in time, but it's also that view of what are we doing to make our students ready for the next step, whether it be a four-year college, a two-year college, an associate degree, whether it be earning an internship or an apprenticeship in high school so that they're able to walk out of their senior year graduation and start a job because they've had work-based experience, because they've earned their industry-recognized credentials that go right on their resume once they leave high school. And we as a district are very supportive of those things. We have our building construction class that builds a house every year for somebody that wants it. I mean, you don't see that in other area schools as often.
And again, this is something I think a lot of, almost everybody can take pride pride in. You parents out there that help with this so much, you can take a lot of pride in this. Certainly the staff and the teachers that put so much into these things. Some of the other groups that work in the schools certainly helping out with this. I do want to take a note to compliment the students too, though.
Absolutely.
And so much of the work that we get into when we talk about these things, and that should be noted. I don't know if we, I'm not saying you and your staff, I just mean me and society, that we don't do that, I think, enough. And just, hey, these are pretty impressive numbers. These kids are pretty darn impressive.
They are.
It's pretty cool.
I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to sit with Eric Seiler, who's our CTE coordinator, and he went into I think it was Point Precision in Plover, and was doing an exit interview with a student who had worked so hard his senior year that he was able to graduate and walk right into a position at Point Precision with little training because he had it all. Well, it's the motivation and the desire of our students to want to know what they want to do and aren't afraid to go out and get it because the opportunities are there for them.
And and it's so encouraging seeing so much of this in the younger generation.
Yes.
They're not going to sit back and wait for their opportunity. They're taking it. They're jumping into it.
And that is shown by the number of students that are enrolling in these courses. And, I mean, a very motivated student could enter a college, a four-year college, as a second semester sophomore if they've received all of the credits that they could at high school if they were motivated to do it. So we have a lot of students that leave Lincoln High School with almost a full year of college done, or they have an associate degree or very close to an associate degree when they leave Lincoln. So it really gets them set up for the next step.
And speaking of that, I think a natural transition going right into dual credits, AP options, mm-hmm. some of that is offered, and some of the, I think, really cool things that are being going on with this.
Right, right. We offer things like some of our industry recognized credentials. We've got 8 courses. We have an assisted child care teacher course, a CNA course, Fusion 360, which is a computer aided drawing course. We have an advanced manufacturing, IT, which is infant toddler. These are all industry recognized credentials that students can leave Lincoln High School with that in their back pocket. The building and construction, which is part of the international carpenters training, a Microsoft Office credential that we can give students, and a Snap-on certification through our auto classes. And we're adding 5 more industry, or we're in the process of adding 5 more industry recognized credentials for next year already. And the nice thing is, the more that we can encourage students to take things like these industry recognized credentials or this work-based learning, the more money the school district receives, because for every student that finishes one of these programs successfully, we get monies back through a workforce incentive grant. Mm-hmm. So those incentive grants help us beef up our technical learning resources that we need for students to continue to grow.
It's such a win-win kind of situation. All of this that we've been talking about here with all these things, and with the dual credit option, it's not just a win-win for the students, for the school, all of these things. The business world and our taxes and our economy and all these things are made better by this. The sooner we can get kids into the workforce, and not just throw them into the workforce, but they're prepared for. I love the idea of setting these kids up to succeed.
Sure.
I love the idea of, hey, you're out there in the real world now. Good luck. No, that's not enough. We're going to give you a hand there. We're going to say good luck while we're also seeing you to this business or something and get you on your feet a little bit, get you
right.
Started on this in adulthood, let alone in the workforce, and really give them the chance to achieve the things that they want to.
And none of this would be possible if it weren't for our partnerships with Mid-State Technical College, mm-hmm. who works hand in hand with us. And we have a dual credit partnership with UW Green Bay. And if we weren't able to offer discounted credits to our students or scholarships through UW Green Bay, or if Mid-State wasn't able to work with us in offering these courses to our students, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. So, and kudos to all of the companies out there, in the local companies, the local businesses that take our students in and offer them these apprenticeships, because if it weren't for our community partnerships, this program definitely wouldn't be as successful as it is.
And I just in the little bit of research I've been able to do on this subject, not just here, but around the country and everything, you're going to be seeing more of this, I think, going forward. You're going to be seeing
sure.
more of these businesses, the seeing the smartness in this and being able to build a bridge. And, I could have somebody like already almost ready ready to go into my company before they even graduate high school. Like, that's mm-hmm. that is staggering, like, interesting to me, and very cool for not just, again, all the topics that I've mentioned here, but I just think that that's that feels more and more like the system that we should have always had.
I totally agree.
It really makes sense a lot.
And
a lot
it keeps
of
our graduates here.
Yes, which is so key to going forward to. I mean, we talk about this with Mayor Matt all the time, and really with all the mayors we've had on, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things any rural community is looking to do is keep their people. And being able to do that, this helps with that a lot, especially the recruiting part of it and everything.
Absolutely.
We wanted to touch on one other thing, too, the possibility of youth apprenticeship options. This is a good option or a good availability for kids, too.
Right. And we're able to partner again with all of our
local
businesses.
You touched on this a little bit, yeah.
So that we're able to partner with them to give that opportunity to our students.
So what we're wondering about that is are there going to be more options available? If I'm a business out there listening to this and I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. Can I reach out? Can I find out more about
it? Absolutely. Maybe... You can reach out to me or to Eric Seiler, who is our CTE coordinator and works very, very hard with trying to make as many connections as he can in the community to get our students into various businesses. And we're always looking for more opportunities for our students to get out there and perform an apprenticeship program or even get some work-based learning experience.
We're speaking with Roxanne Filtz, Director of Curriculum and Instruction with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Roxanne, before we get into our final topic here, I did want to mention one thing, and this comes up. This isn't so much from me as it is from the community. I hear this, one of the more consistent things I hear from our community is they so much appreciate the transparency. And the openness of you and the staff and Ron and so many of the individuals that are working in this industry, the teachers out there, you know better than I do how vital that is in this day and age. And I think that often, I know, especially experiencing this quite a bit in my life, more times than not, the reason people have an issue or a problem or a fear of something is they just don't know. Growing up, I had plenty of times where people found out I was Jewish and were afraid to shake my hand, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. And then when they find out a little bit, they're like, oh, you're just a person.
Right,
like, oh, you're
right.
No different than me at all or anything, you know. And then you clear that up and everything. I genuinely think that most people out there have a good heart, have good intentions. They just don't have all the information. With transparency, we get that out there. And you guys cover that, do such a good job of that. I just wanted to take a note and mention
that. I appreciate that. That's one thing I try to do is be very transparent.
We wanted to talk a little bit about Act 20 and how this will impact WRPS.
Sure. Act 20 is on the front and center plate of anybody in curriculum right now. And I'm very fortunate to have an assistant director of curriculum, Jen Wilhorn, who has taken on our Act 20 work. She is just doing a great job of organizing all that. So those of you that are not familiar with Act 20, what Act 20 does, it requires that schools assess early reading skills in students in grades 4K through 3rd. And that it requires daily reading instruction in K through 3 that's based on the science of reading. And because of that, we have had to change our reading curriculum this year, which we purchased a program called Amplify CKLA, and we went through the entire curriculum purchase process, which includes an open forum for parents and community members to come in and look at whatever it is that we're purchasing. It's, you know, it's out there. You can come in. You can look at everything. Ask any questions that you want. Another thing that we've had to do is, because we're implementing Amplify CKLA, we have had to make sure that our teachers receive the professional development and the training that they needed, not just for making sure that Amplify is used correctly, but all of the training that we need for the required screeners, because we had to change to the state screener. The state adopted Ames Web Plus, and they adopted it late because it wasn't until the school year started that we knew what the screener was going to be. So now all of our teachers had to be trained on how to give this screener. So what Act 20 requires is that every student in grades K through 3 receives this universal screener, and any student that scores under the 25th percentile then has to go through diagnostic testing within 10 days of getting their results on the screener. So we are in the process now. We had to implement it starting mid-year. So our third grade students across the district have completed the screener, and we've completed the diagnostic testing for those that scored underneath the 25th percentile. We have completed the screeners for our second graders, and now we're working on the diagnostic screeners that have to follow if they've scored below the 25th percentile. And all of this is done by our reading interventionists and our classroom teachers, and it is a lot of work, and kudos to them and a shout out to them for what they're doing. And then any student that scores under the 25th percentile Now we have to write a personal reading plan for these students. What are the goals? Where are their deficits? It's informing, constant communication with parents on these were the screeners, this was the diagnostic testing, this is where your student is struggling, and this is our plan for being able to get your student back to grade level. So all of this is being done at the same time that our teachers and our elementary administrators, so all K-3 teachers, and we chose to do K-5 because of the transiency of our staff going from grade level to grade level, they have to receive a state required reading training, which is 40 hours of reading training that has to be done outside of the regular school day. So we've chosen to do that on our professional development days. And all of our elementary school teachers are going through this and going through this training, as so is our administrators. So that's in addition to what we're doing already. And we also have to write a literacy plan that is posted on our district report card. Mm-hmm. That is a requirement of Act 20. And then the next steps is we have to create a promotion plan from third grade to fourth grade that has to be accepted by the board. So we have to get that to our school board by June. And we're getting some guidance from the DPI and from our board policy program writers, which is NEOLA. We're getting some guidance from them as well. And then finally, we have to develop what we're going to offer during summer school for those students that aren't meeting the goals in their personal reading plans. So it is a huge, huge undertaking. And it's not just Rapids. It's all public school districts that have to go through this.
Wonderful description. Thank you so much for that, especially for those who may not be familiar with what this is. And hopefully everybody else had a similar feeling that I did to this. My goodness, we have amazing teachers and amazing people in this industry.
I can't say
just
enough.
Incredible individuals. Nobody gets into teaching for fame or money or anything. They get into it because they have a passion and a love for this. And it shows with things like this, that the dedication to our kids, the dedication to our future. There is no greater investment any of us can make than the kids and the future of this. And we all understand how important reading is. It's great to hear all the work that's being done. It's also, I hope everybody, again, just could take a breath and be like, wow, we have some amazing teachers, some amazing people in this industry working so hard for our kids.
100%. And the thing is, you know, you can agree with Act 20, you don't have to agree with Act 20. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The idea that we are talking about reading and we're doing what's best for our kids to get them to succeed and we're making sure that reading is in the forefront, that can't be bad.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, we don't want to put anything else in the background. You don't want to have math slip because we're concentrating too much on reading. And so we're working really hard with our math programs as well. But right now, the focus just seems to be on making sure that Act 20 is not only implemented to the letter of the law, but also we want to make sure that it's improving student learning. We're not going to do it because we just have to do it. We want to do it because it's what's best for kids.
Well said. If you have questions or looking for further information, I encourage you to check out the website, WRPS.org, WRPS.org. I encourage you to do that. And be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date and all the things going on in our public schools. Roxanne, don't be a stranger. We look forward to hanging out again and talking real soon.
I enjoyed this very much. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You as well.
And everybody out there, have a great weekend. And a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face, free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. In Southern California, Patty Phillips was reunited with a police captain who saved her after her car got stuck on a rock as she tried to flee the Palisades
fire. What an act of selfishness for you to run into a burning fire to save someone you don't know when you have a family of your own.
President Trump will soon tour the Palisades fire damage. Tonight, the Senate votes whether to confirm Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. New Jersey Democrat Andy Kim says Hegseth is not qualified.
Hegseth's appointment is an unnecessary risk in a dangerous global moment.
The president's immigration crackdown has begun with hundreds of migrants arrested and deported. Some of them were rounded up in Newark. Amy Torres heads the New Jersey Alliance for Immigrant Justice.
People are scared. We knew this was going to happen. And what we learned from folks that stayed behind was that ICE walked in like it was their empire's own conquered land.
Newark's mayor says none of those arrested were criminals. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay.